There will be two big meetings between world leaders early this week. With me for our weekly look at the top international stories in the coming days is the BBC's Poona Ghadusi. And Poona, let's start on the Korean Peninsula, where tomorrow the leaders of North and South Korea will start a three-day summit in the North Korean capital. What's the latest on the effort to end the North's nuclear program?
As you and your listeners may have noticed, Mark, things have stalled a bit since that Singapore summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un, which happened in June. Just last week, the UN nuclear watchdog warned that North Korea is actually still continuing its nuclear program. But North Korea has also refrained from nuclear testing and launching missiles, which at least is a good thing. So South Korea now sees this summit in Pyongyang as a way to re-inject some energy into this process. And the South Korean leader has positioned himself as a mediator between the U.S. and the North.
Well, so is anything major expected to come out of these meetings?
Analysts are expecting some symbolic announcement, at least, which are going to be related to the friendship between the two Koreas. There's been talk of major South Korean companies attending the talks as well, as the BBC's Michael Bristow explains.
President Moon wants to encourage North Korea to give up its nuclear weapons by dangling the prospect of economic cooperation if it does so. To hammer home that point, he'll be accompanied by top businessmen from firms such as Samsung, Hyundai and LG when he visits Pyongyang on Tuesday. North Korea, poor and struggling under UN sanctions, must surely be tempted.
So there may be economic announcements as incentives. One of the main requirements for starting a conversation, though, about removing nuclear weapons is a list of what exactly North Korea does have already in terms of weapons. And they've been very reluctant to release that information. And for all the talk of denuclearization, there's still never been an agreed definition from both sides or all sides about what that would actually mean.
All right, so those meetings start tomorrow. Also tomorrow, the president of Poland arrives in Washington. What do we expect to come out of that?
Mark, Andrzej Duda will be meeting President Trump. Poland has been styling itself as the most pro-American country in Europe for a while and would like to see itself as a new bridge between the U.S. and the EU in the years ahead. The Poles rely heavily on U.S. military support as a deterrent to Russia also. So President Duda will want to reinforce the importance of the U.S. troops that are based on Polish soil and drive home the fact with President Trump that Poland is one of the countries that has been paying its dues to NATO as well.
Now, Poona, you mentioned Poland as a bridge between the U.S. and the EU, and maybe it's trying to position itself as very friendly to the U.S., but the Polish government is not super popular in Europe, is it?
Correct, Mark. Poland is actually one of the countries in the EU that has recently been swinging more and more towards right-wing and populist policies. This has meant falling foul of European rules and values on a few occasions. Perhaps the biggest issue and the most recent one has been the independence of the country's Supreme Court. The Polish government recently passed a law lowering the age of justices on the court, which means immediately retiring several judges who will now have to be replaced by the government. Opponents of this idea in Poland and also in the rest of the European countries say this is an unacceptable attempt by the government to control who ends up sitting on the court. And that's problematic because this court has a final say in the constitutionality of Poland's laws. This issue is it's possible that Poland will end up having its voting rights suspended within the EU if they go ahead with this decision.
All right, so Poona, let's stay in Europe. Another big week coming up for Brexit negotiations. This has also been going on for quite some time. What's happening now?
Yes, indeed. It's been going on for too long, and now we are actually getting close to the final 6 months point before Britain's exit from the EU. That's why here at the BBC we've got a special week of coverage to find out what's really going on and what can happen when we reach that end point. And as the clock is ticking quite speedily towards March 2019, there's still no agreement on what kind of relationship the UK and the EU will end up having in the future. Britain's Prime Minister is going to Austria next week informally to try and rally support for her proposal for a deal, something that has become famous here in the UK as the Chequers plan. Speaking to the BBC, Theresa May insisted that the only alternative to her deal would be what would be a disastrous no deal.
I believe we'll get a good deal. We'll bring that back from the EU negotiations and put that to Parliament. I think that the alternative to that will be not having a deal, because I don't think, A, I don't think the negotiations would have that deal, and B, we're leaving on the 29th of March 2019.
The problem is no one quite knows exactly how bad it may turn out to be if there is a no deal. Today, the head of the IMF, International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde, who's in London actually, warned of a serious economic fallout to Britain in the event that it and the EU fail to reach a deal. She said all likely Brexit scenarios would come at a great cost to the UK and at a lesser cost to the EU, but no deal at all would be the worst result for both sides.
So if the sides say that they want a deal, why hasn't there been a deal yet?
The problem, Mark, is that Mrs. May's deal isn't really a deal quite, because it's actually a proposal which hasn't even been agreed upon within her own party to begin with. A good number of Conservative lawmakers do not support this plan. Some even quit in protest to it, including the former Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson. The BBC's Nick Robinson, who did this interview with Mrs. May last night, explains a bit more.
If you're going to be good at politics, the first thing you have to do is be able to count. That was said by LBJ in the United States. And what he really meant was, it's no use having theories unless you've got votes to deliver them. And Theresa May has not got them.
Supporters of a harder Brexit than Mrs. May's group fear that Theresa May's plan will turn the UK into what they call a vassal state, which means leaving the UK with a set of rules that will be coming from the EU, with the UK actually having no say in them. Critics of Mrs. May also say it would be unacceptable and it would be better to leave without a deal than this deal that Mrs. May is proposing. And it is unclear what kind of a chaos may ensue in that eventuality. And as I said earlier, we only have 6 months to figure all of that out.
All right. As you say, the clock is ticking there. That's the BBC's Poona Gadusi. Poona, good to talk to you as always. Thank you.
And to you.